Could we call a meeting to order today? It's May 26th, special meeting for Birch Lake Sewer. Pledge allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the meeting today. This will be for Birch Lake Sewer and Birch Lake Sewer only. We will not be talking about Maple Harbor or any other parts of the sewers. Today's meeting, we have some guests here to discuss some of the options that we're looking at as a township board for Birch Lake Sewer. With us today is Performance Engineering, Brad Mama, and we have Aaron Nordum. For attorneys, we have Bill Derman, and we have Matt Zimmerman. Matt's been taking a look at the whole agreement from start to finish over the past couple of months. So we want to be able to start off and talk about the engineering report first. We will answer all questions. There will be a question and answer time period. Under board questions and discussion right afterwards will be questions and answer from the public. We would wish that you would hold your questions until that time period so that the board can discuss with our staff, and then whatever questions you may or may not have, please feel free to come forward with them at that time. We'll identify it. We're hoping to answer everyone's questions. We're very glad that everybody showed up and we have a good attendance. So with that, I guess I would like to start with the engineering report from Aaron. And Brad, please.
Thank you. So I'd like to start out with just a little background information. We did present our results from an assessment we did of the Birch Lake Sewer a month or so ago. So I'll have kind of a condensed version in case you weren't here for that. But the main purpose of this is basically to help you understand what you have out there and kind of the general condition of it. So what you have is a low pressure sewer system, and the decision to go low pressure sewer was made back in the 80s. Obviously a lot of technology has changed since then, but basically we feel that today this is still the correct design concept for serving a sewer out in that area. If we were to do it today, we'd pick the same type of system because you have relatively flat topography around the lake. You're kind of remote from the centralized sewer collection system, and you have groundwater, high groundwater table problems out there. So in case you're not familiar with a low pressure system, it's basically characterized by a forced main system where the pressure is generated by pumps at the homes or at the point of wastewater generation. So basically, each of you, when your grinder pump turns on, you are individually pressurizing that forced main all the way back out through the system. The use of a forced main in this kind of scenario helps to limit the infiltration of groundwater because you keep a pressure on the pipe so you don't get the infiltration into it. And another advantage is that it can cover a long distance without worrying about terrain that lends itself to a gravity application. When we did the assessment for Birch Lake in particular, you guys have about 3 miles of PVC pipe. That is the SDR 26 wall thickness, which is a pressure rated pipe with glued fittings. It goes from 2 inch up to 4 inch in diameter. You have about 140 residences connected to these with individual pumping stations. And this low pressure sewer outlets to a gravity sewer down by the Sportsman's Park. And from there, it flows down a gravity system to a common lift station that then pumps it the rest of the way to the treatment plant. Since you guys all have wells and you're not on the community water supply, they don't have any individual metering at your house. So there's a master meter at the village treatment plant that they use that to assign the amount of flow that has been used, and then you are flat rate billed equally as your pro rata share of that flow. When we started the assessment, we were provided with as-built drawings of your system. This is the schematic of it, and the drawings were quite good. We were able to locate most things using the drawings. The only window we really have into your buried pipe is at these clean-out locations. Some of them are very accessible in yards and right off the edge of the road, and some of them are a little more challenging to find. They're off in the woods or buried. But we were able to find them all and take a look and see how the condition of all this looked. What we found in a typical clean-out is that they're filled up with groundwater, making any kind of use of the air reliefs in them really non-functional. But apparently it doesn't need the air release so bad because it seems to work just fine. When we get them pumped out, what we found is the equipment was pretty uniform throughout the system. These are the actual cleanouts right there. That this is the point where you could access your force main in the system. There's isolation valving in there that allows you to clean out from either direction. Some of them have air reliefs, and they all had a pressure gauge in there, but none of the pressure gauges are really working. Outside of the pressure sewer, when it comes into the gravity system, here's where we have a little more deferred maintenance issue. What we think is happening is you have a pretty long retention time in that pressure main where the wastewater will actually go anaerobic. So it dumps into the gravity sewer and you build up these sewer gases, and they're a pretty corrosive environment. So we're finding that the gravity manholes are degrading, the frames and covers are corroding, and it just needs to be addressed with a little bit of maintenance. We did run a camera through the gravity sewer, and all the pipes had some buildup in them. There's a section here that's free-flowing in the channel of the pipe, but you can see it even has some buildup on the walls. And then some sections had buildup even in the flow line so that the water backs up and has standing little water sections in it. We also performed a pressure test on a section of the main between cleanouts 8 and 11. Which is basically along Williams Drive to the point where it turns to go out to the gravity line. We ran this up to 35 PSI, which was higher than the current operating pressure of the system, but consistent with what we analyzed to be about the pressure if Maple Harbor were added to the system. So the idea was to run a pressure test to ensure that we wouldn't have a problem if another lift station got added. The results of this were good. The pressure test held reasonably well. And of course that relates only to that section of Maine, but it was a very positive result. So kind of a summary of what you have in the existing collection system is that your low pressure pipe appears to be in good condition for its age. There's some concern over the SDR26 and glued joints, but the pressure test shows that it's holding. And the fact that the other thing that came out of the pressure test was we believe there's a very low pressure in there for the majority of the time. We also feel that you don't have a lot of variation in the pressure, which can be problematic in, the pressure change in the wall stresses the pipe in a cyclical manner, which we don't feel you have a lot of that going on. The majority of the cleanouts appear to have been largely ignored. The air releases are obviously not essential to the system. So, going forward, you could kind of leave that as it is and just plan on bringing a pump with you if you need to access it. The gravity pipe and the manholes are in need of some maintenance. And the force main should have some flushing routine maintenance done. The common lift station appears to be in relatively good condition. And if we looked at all the repairs and maintenance that we felt would be appropriate to get this thing back on track, we thought that it was about an $80,000 number over whatever period of time you're going to do it. We proposed a 5-year period, but that should get you back up on that collection system in pretty good shape. We're going to continue on to the individual pumping stations. What we have out there is kind of two different styles. Some people have been converted to a new style, which is a three-phase pump and panel. And then the older style are single-phase, and there's a variety of pumps and equipment installed with those. The variation in age of what's going on out there is evident when you open the panel doors. The only way we have to tell what's been going on is if people have made notes in the panel door. And it looks like the majority of these have had some work over the years, either a motor contactor, maybe a pump replacement. But a lot of them have had some work over their lifetime. Some still have close to original equipment in them. And as we said, some have these brand new three-phase pumps and panels. The current program for replacing the grinder pump stations is to convert them over to this three-phase system. The cost of the pump is about $1,600, and the cost of a panel is about $2,000. And then the cost to have them actually physically installed ranges depending on site specifics, but they pump them out, they replace floats, they do some of these things, and it's about $5,000 to $6,000 estimated cost. There have been some concerns raised over the 1996 Gosling Zubak report to the village, which recommended changes in the user charge system at that point in time to go through and replace all of the pumps and panels, the pumps by 2010 and the panels by 2015. Obviously, this didn't happen. So the big question that was raised was, where did the money go? So we did spend a little time looking into that. The funding plan that was proposed in the 96 report assumed a cost of $500 for a pump replacement and $900 for the panel. So if you add that up for, at that time, it was 138 units, they figured it was about $193,000 they needed to raise to replace everybody's pump and panel. The report recommended implementing a $6.76 replacement charge to execute this replacement plan. And even though the replacement charge was implemented on the billing, obviously the pumps and panels did not get replaced. So theoretically, this charge from the period of 96 to 2015 would have raised about $213,000. But in 2015, Gosling Zubak again looked at this and of course realized the same thing that we did, that this didn't get implemented. So they came up with a new 15-year replacement plan and adjusted a repair cost into the billing of $19.10, which is your current billing, and still had no reserve fund outside of that. The reason for the 2015 adjustment and lack of reserve fund is pretty clear. So the proposal to replace 138 pumps and panels at $1,400 per unit compared to what we're actually seeing the cost at $5,000 to $6,000 a unit results in no possible way to get that done. In simple terms, we went through and inventoried what everybody has throughout the whole system, and there are about 40 units that have been upgraded to the current three-phase system. If you just do the math on that, say even using the lower installation cost of $5,000, they've spent at least $200,000 in replacing the pumps and panels that are in existence today. And then they also have 5 pumps and 10 panels in inventory at the DPW, so that's another $28,000. So you've spent at least $228,000 on what was assumed to be a $193,000 cost back when you started the billing. So the problem is compounded by the fact that these funds are the only money that's available to do any other type of maintenance too. So if the village goes out and they do some kind of grease mitigation or any other maintenance, this money basically had to cover all that as well. So the resulting shortfall is obvious given that there's no other revenue to go to these types of things. We had circulated a pro forma income projection based on the current billing, and we've received information correcting some of those numbers, mainly in regard to, you know, reduction in operating costs due to retiring the old plant and just some other miscellaneous items in there. So we did update that. It's a little bit hard to see on here, but the summary of it is as follows. Your rate setting now is based on three components: a debt repayment, a treatment cost, and an O&M slash repair and replacement. The current billing breaks these out into $16.30 for debt repayment, $15 for treatment, or what you actually use, and then $19.10 for all other maintenance and repair costs, which is primarily the grinder pump stations. There's also an admin fee of $2 that adjusts annually at 10 cents to pay the village for their billing and administrative costs in the system. This raises about $90,000 annually. The debt portion closely matches what the actual debt repayment cost is, and the treatment and usage portions pretty closely match what the village is billing you for your use. So this means that basically the O&M and the repair and replacement costs have to cover everything, including whatever you're going to put away for reserve, which, as you can see from the previous math, it doesn't cover it. If you look at what's going on in the billing, you're paying about 3% for your admin costs, you're paying about 24% of your bill towards the treatment plant debt, and you're paying about 20% towards your actual treatment of the wastewater that you send to the village. 53% of your billing then is basically going into these grinder pump stations. And so this is the sticky wicket. This is what we gotta solve somehow, right? And so we started looking deeper into what options were available, how this thing was structured, why it is in the situation it is. And that's where the township brought in Varnum for legal counsel to look at all their agreements. And I'll turn it over to Matt Zimmerman here, who is with Varnum, and he's going to go through his findings on that.
Good afternoon. As Aaron indicated, my name is Matt Zimmerman. I'm an attorney down in Grand Rapids. My practice primarily involves specialized municipal and environmental activities. I've worked on behalf of the township here for 10 years or more on several specialized areas. So I supplement Bill here or give a hand on some areas where I've done some more in-depth analysis over the years. I represent dozens of townships, villages, cities, counties, and a lot of that is focused on water and sewer delivery, so municipal utility work. Dorrance gave me a call a month or so ago and indicated that he'd like some help looking at the township's sewer system because it was running out of money. There were lots of things that the township board would like to do with the system, but it didn't have the money. It had asked performance and before performance guys in Zubek to look at rate issues and the rates that they were coming up with to take care of all of the issues that the township board would like to handle were very, very steep. We're going to amount to almost triple the current rates. And it had received input from all of you, or a lot of you, that think of something else. That's just unreasonable to increase the rates that much. So Dorrance asked me to take a look at sort of the whole system and see if there were any issues that I could identify that maybe should be changed, or some suggestions that could be made to deal with this situation. So what I've got up here is sort of a list of different legal types of issues that go into a municipality operating a public utility. And the one thing that, as I indicated, was primary on the township board's mind was the rates. And in general, in Michigan, municipal utilities are required to have reasonable rates. Rates can be unreasonable because they're too high. They can be unreasonable because they're too low. And that's why I start by listing some of these basic principles. Now, you all have utilities besides the sewer. You have gas or electric. Those utilities are regulated in Michigan by a Public Service Commission, and that Public Service Commission analyzes the rates that the utilities want to charge and make sure that they're reasonable, and they have hearings and all of that kind of stuff. For public water and sewer that are delivered by municipal public utilities, the MPSC doesn't have jurisdiction. So the township board here has the discretion to set rates at what it thinks is reasonable, and then it gets feedback from customers like you to determine whether or not those rates really are reasonable. But from a legal perspective, the township board needs to be reminded that it has an obligation as the deliverer of a public utility service. It has certain obligations. It has obligations to make sure that the money is properly accounted for, and in most cases, and I'm not familiar with a single municipal utility that doesn't set up an enterprise fund. In other words, they take the money needed to operate the system and segregate it from the general fund so that those monies are earmarked for handling utility expenses. All municipalities are required to have a balanced budget. They can't operate at a deficit, so the township needs to have a balanced budget every year, and that includes the cost to operate the utility. Almost without fail, either because of bonding that was involved in setting up the system originally, or funding, either state or federal funding, any of those three options are going to require that a municipality adopt an ordinance to administer the utility. So sewer use ordinance is in place here, and that's an obligation that the township took on when this system was formed in the early 80s. There's an agreement between the village and the township that the village is going to administer the system. Aaron mentioned that there's $2 a month fee that you pay for that. One of the obligations that the township accepted in that agreement was that it would adopt a sewer use ordinance, and you do have that in place. The township takes on the obligation when it decides to have a utility that it's got to operate, maintain, and repair that system. And again, I mentioned at the bottom of this first slide, if there are municipal bonds involved in the financing of the original construction of the system, or if there are state or federal grant or loan monies involved, then there's an obligation that the township set up a replacement fund so that it's putting aside money for replacing that system at some point in the future when its useful life has been reached or later. And the engineers estimate those sorts of lives and whatnot, and hopefully with good operation and maintenance they exceed that, but these are the obligations that the township has legally. So when I first started looking at the documents on the system setup, the ordinances, the village ordinance, the agreement, the service agreement between the village and the township, and some of the pro formas that performance had put together, some of the rate structure, it became apparent just what Doran said warned me about, which is that the system's operating either currently at a deficit or very soon would be in a deficit. If all of the obligations from that first slide were being met, then very clearly the system was operating at a deficit. It wasn't putting aside money in a replacement fund, which is an obligation that it has, and it wasn't addressing some of the basic requirements from the sewer ordinance, and I'm going to get into those in this next slide. Or the slide after this. So the first situation that needed to be addressed is that the system was operating at a deficit. Its expenses were exceeding its revenues, and it wasn't putting aside money in a replacement fund. So just like with your household budget, if you're operating at a deficit, that can't go on very long. You either have to increase your revenues or you have to decrease your expenses. There just isn't any other way around it. And there had been quite a bit of focus on the revenue side. And you know, one option was, well, can we just shift money over from the general fund? In Michigan, you can do that, but there are some problems. The fairness problem is the one I list here. In this township, not everybody benefits from a public sewer utility. A large part of the township has their own private systems, you know, septic and drain fields. Yet they pay township general taxes. They pay the millage just like you do, and I know because I've seen this in other municipalities, if the general fund were used to help offset deficits in the sewer fund, then those people that are not within the sewer district are going to complain about that and are going to say, why am I paying to help people at Birch Lake run their sewer system? So that's a problem. There's possible legal problems with that as well. The bigger legal problems I'm going to address in just a minute. So I asked Dorrance to start thinking about, is there any way that the cost could be decreased? And Performance looked into this as well. And really, as Aaron has already covered, the system is in pretty decent shape. I mean, there aren't exorbitant costs or unnecessary costs that are being incurred in operating the system. If anything, there's some things that have been put off that maybe should have been done that haven't been done because there hasn't been the money. So there really wasn't any obvious way to cut costs. So that led me to look really into, when I found out how the system was being operated, I started looking more closely at some of the documents that set up the system, because I was told originally that the system itself, funds from within the system collected by the rates that you pay, had been used to repair and replace grinder pumps and related equipment when it failed. And that to me was very, very odd, because I've never seen that happen in Michigan in many dozens, if not hundreds, of municipal utility systems. Grinder pumps, the panels, the tanks, the lateral itself, everything from the edge of the easement that the township has for the collection trunk line, from that point to the house, that is private property. In every municipal sewer system that I've worked on in 36 years in this state. And so I was being told that the system had been paying for the replacement of that equipment. I had to find out how that was possible legally, so I asked for a number of documents and reviewed a number of documents, and the township sewer ordinance provisions that I'll point to here will, I think, pretty clearly point out what exists everywhere else in this state, that the grinder pumps and the panels, the lateral, the tank that you have in your yard, that's your property. That's private property. It's spelled right out in the definition of building sewer, both the village ordinance and then the township ordinance, and in that service agreement that I mentioned earlier, the first one was in 1984, it's been amended and updated in 2007. That requires that the township adopt a sewer use ordinance and let it essentially be the same as the village's ordinance. The village's ordinance, I'm citing the provisions from the township ordinance, but the village ordinance has the same stuff. So the building sewer is what the ordinance calls everything from the public collector trunk line to your house. Now, public sewer is everything that Aaron has been describing, the collection system around the lake. There's a single pump station, and then the system, the 3 mile system down to the village wastewater treatment plant. That's the public sewer. Then the township ordinance goes on to have an obligation, which is key to both state and federal funding and bond sales. The reason that they require a sewer use ordinance is to have the obligation for property owners to connect to it. You'll see efforts made to put in a system to help keep a lake like you have clean, and some people just, given their choice, will choose not to hook up. Either they're not there often enough or they just don't want to spend that kind of money. But the people that buy the bonds and the government who wants their loans paid off, that's not good enough for them. They need to make sure that every single person around within 200 feet of that system has to connect, and so has to make the payments, which go to repay the loans or to repay the bonds. So there is an obligation to hook up in the township ordinance. Also, there's an obligation to put in whatever facilities are necessary to get the waste from your premises up to the public sewer line. And in your case, it means grinder pumps and the panels and the lateral. Those are all to be at the owner's expense. Then the responsibility for maintaining that, as also specified in the ordinance, is the property owner's responsibility. And that's the way it's done everywhere that I'm familiar with in the state. So I indicated that the village has similar provisions. And the thing that really got this going for me was when Doran said, we've always considered the grinder pumps and everything to be our responsibility to repair and replace. And I said, okay, provide me with copies of the easements because they're on private property. So you must have an easement to allow you to get to those pieces of equipment for repair and replacement purposes. So Bill had a whole book full of easements and he sent them to me and I went through them and had one of my legal assistants plot them out, and lo and behold, none of them deal with that area between the trunk line and your house. They all had to do with the areas in private roads, because some of your plats have private roads and only a couple have dedicated public roads. And so in those areas where there are sewer lines going through a private road, the township does have an easement. But it doesn't have an easement over any of your individual properties. And that was sort of the first indication to me that something unusual was happening here. So I've mentioned the sewer agreement, the service agreement several times. That agreement very clearly provides that the village is obligated to do maintenance on the township's sewer, but it very clearly says that does not include the building sewers. They're not responsible for that. So we started looking at the equipment replacement fund, and that was a problem that Dorrance and the board had identified, because performance was telling them we really need to have a replacement fund. It's just good engineering practice. The township system, the collector and interceptor and its pump or lift station, it's not going to last forever. Everything is going to break down sooner or later. You need to have a replacement fund that's getting going, and there wasn't a replacement fund in place. So again, the 2007 service agreement addresses a replacement fund. It addresses it from the standpoint of the township residents, the customers here on the sewer system are being billed by the village. That's one of its obligations under this arrangement. And they spelled out the different components of the sewer rate, and part of that rate is a replacement fund. That replacement fund, in my opinion, and I think performance agrees, should have been set aside to deal with maintenance, repair, and replacement of the public portion of the township sewer system. So that's the interceptor, the collection system, and the lift station. Unfortunately, maybe fortunately for you all, but unfortunately for the system, those monies that were being charged in your rates and were being collected were being used to pay for repair and replacement on grinder pumps that needed to be replaced. And as I understood it, and I think you've heard it through Aaron's presentation this afternoon as well, about 40 grinder pumps have been replaced, roughly $6,000 each. That's roughly $240,000. All of that money should have been in a replacement fund that was set aside to repair and replace the public portions of the township sewer. Quite simply, the rates just weren't set high enough to pay for the replacement of your grinder pumps. And then frankly, in this may be a little hard to hear, but it wasn't legal to be paying with public money to repair or replace private equipment. And so that, that's really my bottom line. But because the rates weren't set high enough, even if there was the legal authority to do so, the rates just weren't set high enough, as Aaron already covered, in part because there was an underestimate of the replacement cost, and in part maybe an underestimation of when some of the replacements would have to take place. But bottom line is the rates just weren't set high enough for the township to fulfill all of the obligations by law that it has to do, much less to be taking on the obligation to replace private property. So right now, had things been done differently, had they been done the way that, skipping ahead a slide or two, that I'm going to recommend be done, there'd be $250,000 in a replacement fund right now, or something near to that, and we wouldn't be having this meeting, and I wouldn't be here. So there's really only, as I can see it, two primary options for dealing with the situation. If the township wants to continue replacing grinder pumps, then it has to do it the right way. And that is, it's got to own them, which means you all have to transfer ownership of that equipment to the township. And the township has to have an easement so that it can get to that, which means that you're all going to have to come up with an easement agreement and a legal description that describes that easement. And, you know, that's a cost that you would have to incur. And then the rates are going to have to be set high enough to cover the anticipated replacement cost for that, in addition to all of the repair and replacement expenses for the rest of the public system, which Aaron has covered. And I think that gets you a rate that's in the neighborhood of $141 a month. Now, the second option is that the township no longer gets in the business of replacing your grinder pumps when they fail. That's an obligation that you have as its private property. You all have private wells, and occasionally the pumps on your wells go out, and you call up a plumber and you get a new well or a new pump. And you don't go to the township and ask the township to pay for that. That's really how this should have been with your sewer from the start. So the other option is we go to that system now, and as a result, the rates can stay approximately where they're at right now. They could stay at the $52, at least in the near term, and then those would only have to be raised periodically to deal with inflation and to deal with making sure that we have enough of a reserve fund built up so that when the interceptor or the collectors fail, then the township will have some seed money to put into the replacement. The least amount that has to be borrowed through the sale of bonds the better. Unfortunately, our public finance system from the state and federal level, since the time that this system was built, is completely different. There just isn't the same sort of readily available money available for grants, certainly, and for loans even, for that kind of replacement. It's available to deal with existing pollution problems for new systems, but it's a long list. It's a waiting list of many, many years. The money just isn't available very readily for replacement, especially if a system is 30-some years old and has not properly put aside money for replacement during that time frame. So the other issue that I'm prepared to discuss with the township that isn't on these slides is that if the township wants to continue replacing grinder pumps and goes through the process of taking ownership of it and getting easements, that means the township is going to be responsible from a liability perspective if any of them fail and if there are backups into property, into your houses, or into the lake. That puts it in the first position with DEQ enforcement actions or with private lawsuits for damages from you. And frankly, that's a huge risk that I think, if at all possible, the township ought to avoid. So that would be my recommendation, would be to go with the second option here, which is to have the private property owners deal with repair and replacement of their private property, and then the rates can be kept at a much lower level, at the level that we're looking at now. So that's it.
Thank you, Matt. At this time, I would ask the board, if you have any questions of Matt or Aaron, this would be the time to discuss it. Obviously, this is a new finding, and it's something we hadn't quite expected, but I guess what I'm curious about myself, Matt, is on the regulatory side, as far as putting aside, or maybe Aaron, the reserve fund, what do you feel, I guess could you explain how that might work as far as reserve fund and how it might look toward the replacement of the trunk line system? As far as would we get online, maybe Aaron, would we get online enough money to replace it, or are you thinking pieces or?
Yeah, I would suggest kind of the plan that we did in the pro forma income statement for kind of getting this thing back under control, where we figure the infrastructure cost on the collection system is about $1.5 million. And if you try to raise half of that in a 20-year period, that's your $37,500 a year goal that you're trying to hit. And in my opinion, that's a reasonable rate to have on the bill. So in other words, 20 years from now, you'd have half the money to build it at what it costs today. So you're still going to be looking at borrowing or some other way to bond or finance the rest of it. But I think the other thing that would happen is it would actually free you up to cash flow repairs in specific areas along the way. And maybe you could prolong the whole thing and never end up in that situation where you're bonding a project that involves the total replacement.
Okay. Anyone else?
I just, from a practical standpoint, maybe this is a little easier to understand. Y'all buy houses, and you can put a lot down and then have a mortgage for the balance, and or put hardly any down and have a much bigger mortgage. And you know, you've seen, if you have a mortgage, you've seen how much you're really paying over the life of the mortgage. I mean, you're paying double or triple or quadruple than what your house was worth because of all that interest. Same thing, even with municipal bonds, where you get a premium interest because the purchasers don't have to pay taxes on their return, it still adds up for a project of this size over 10, 15, 20 years. it's a big number. And so the more that you can set aside in a reserve fund means the less you have to borrow through the bonds and the less you're paying in interest.
What do you see as kind of a normal in the other townships you work in?
I think what Aaron's talking about is very typical. I mean, that's the goal is to get, is when the useful life is estimated at the start of the project, I think the goal is that when you get to that useful life, you've got at least 50% of that cost set aside in your replacement fund.
Okay. Yeah, I have a question for Matt. This is a pretty intuitive, obvious question, but I just got to grasp this. In your opinion, the township has been paying for in repairing and replacing private property that was contradictory to the document when it was originally written?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Not purposely.
I don't think it was purposeful at all, no.
Well, not willful, but I mean, for some reason, yeah. We just did it.
And I think the village was doing things so that it, the customers were paying for their replacement. I mean, they were paying a rate, and the village was trying to figure out what that rate should be and all. I don't think that was done maliciously or with any knowledge that it was improper, but it just shouldn't have been done that way.
Yeah, I mean, we've looked through a lot of these old records when we first started the assessment project, and that's kind of the way it appears to us is that, you know, early on there's probably very little maintenance, so when things started to come on that needed maintenance, you know, the village probably just took care of it without, you know, 10 years ago, whenever this thing was put in place, any real knowledge of how it should have been. And then the status quo appears to have just kind of continued on. It's just come to a head now because the replacements are accelerating faster than you can generate the revenue to replace them.
Does anyone else on the board have a question? Mike?
So this is for Aaron. The main pipeline, is that still, like you said, in pretty good shape, but we do need to do some kind of maintenance on it now, don't we?
Yeah, we're recommending doing some flushing on it and probably complete pressure testing along the sections that have not yet been tested. You know, we just took one piece to get a snapshot of how it was holding up.
So when I talk about the system being in deficit, so this is a routine maintenance that's required, which is the township's obligation to do, but to do it, you don't have the money in your fund to even do this maintenance.
Because that money's been spent to fix the private property.
That's right. That's right. There's $240,000 roughly that's been spent on replacing grinder pumps and panels. And that should have been in the reserve fund so that, you know, every year for the next few years, you could have maintenance being done on the public system and there'd be plenty of cash in there to do that with.
Understood. I have a question for Aaron to spin off of that. In your assessment, then the private property that Matt's just described is in good repair, good condition, needs work. Where do we stand on that now that we've been fixing something we shouldn't have?
Right, kind of like we had in the presentation there, I think there's a big variation out there. You know, obviously some people have had pumps and panels replaced within the last couple months, and some of them have near original equipment. But, you know, in terms of if I was sitting in your shoes, I would say, the risk is that more than likely, if your pump failed, you're looking at like a $1,600 bill to replace your pump if you can't repair it. You know, the risk to you is, in my opinion, reasonable and consistent with what is faced in a lot of other communities.
Shelley?
Earlier, we were talking about the manholes and the covers, and we wanted to kind of slate that for repair too, or is that not high on our list?
I believe it is high on the list. That's what we figured. We figured there's probably about $80,000 worth of work identified in the assessment that needs to get done. And, you know, we haven't really gotten to a point where we've prioritized the work or laid out a plan of how it would happen, because step one is figuring out how much money was available to do it. And I think once you get your arms around this problem, the next step would be looking at that, getting a more detailed breakdown of what needs to be done, and then start prioritizing the work and put a schedule to it.
Okay. And your list is like a 5-year list.
When we were doing the original pro forma work, we put it out to 5 years as a goal to complete in 5 years. And that was part of the $141 a month billing plan.
And I think that was an accommodation because of your financial situation. I think ideally this stuff should be done now.
Right.
I mean, just like you change your oil regularly, you can get by some quarters or whatever, extending it out an extra 500 or 1,000 miles, but you know, sooner or later that's going to catch up to you. And the sooner it gets done, you avoid the big, huge cost problem.
I have a question for Mike. What's the balance in the sewer fund today?
Today? As of today, May 26th, we have a balance of $13,335. Now, if we cease buying any more pumps and panels, which we already have, I'm having 3 more quarters of revenue coming in this fiscal year. So we could probably start doing some of that stuff right now, some of that maintenance that's critical, without raising the rates, and then every year before the quarter ends, do an adjustment or analysis of how much money we have, and then raising the rates accordingly. But it wouldn't have to be that double, triple amount. And then we can do the work on the main pipe in sections. You don't have to dig up the hole.
Right. We would basically take that plan and prioritize it to do whatever your budget allowed. Yeah.
But then once you do that, we can sit down and say, okay, I'm projecting to have this much for this year. We can do that. And then next year, if we raise the rate, say, you know, I don't know, and this is, don't quote me on these numbers, $5-6 a month, and project that out for a year, we can do this, and then we can start still building up some funds, but get the normal maintenance and then continue on.
Right. You could do something like that.
Aaron, have you got any questions?
I'll ask a question that I'm sure we're going to get, and it's not. And I guess, you know, if I was lived on Birch Lake, I'd want to know, you know, if I just recently had my pump and panel replaced, up to date, not a bad, I mean, I think this is the right program. I think this is the way we have to go. I'll say that right off. But yeah, if I had a 20-year-old pump and panel sitting there, you know, there's just a little bit of you could be on one side or the other, you know, if you were fortunate enough to have your pump fail last week or 2 months ago. I just think it's a question we're going to face, you know, and I think we just need to be able to address that.
Yeah, but now at least I know there's a lot of summertime residents only at Birch Lake. This way they wouldn't be paying for somebody else's pump, and theirs may last 20, 30 years if they don't use it as much.
Sure.
Yeah, there's a subsidization that's happening now. The people that get their pumps replaced, everybody has helped pay to replace that, even though they may only be here during the summer and they may not need a new pump for 15 years. And that's one of the things that I believe is corrected when that private property is really treated as private property. Some people change their oil every 2,000 miles, and some wait for 5,000. It's your choice because it's your car.
No, it's not.
But you know, it's
not.
It's. I think turning the private property back over lets people make that decision on their own, whether they want to repair it or replace it often, or when they do have to replace it, whether they get a super duper pump or just get the cheapest one they can find. That's their decision.
Aaron, how would that work? Would they have to have a specification they need to meet, you know, from the village, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I would suggest that there be some kind of standard insulation detail, that as long as your contractor followed this detail, that it would be ensured to be consistent with the demand of pumping against the other pressures in the system and not overwhelm anybody else.
So then that would have to be monitored, inspected, and permitted. There would have to be some control so that the resident can't just choose, like Matt said, the cheapest one available.
Well, cheapest one that meets the specs. I mean, we have an obligation as a township to meet the specifications that the village has set for the entire system. So, yeah, so Aaron would provide the basic specs that are needed, but I would imagine that there are various suppliers that would have different models that meet those specs, either far exceed them or just exceed them, and prices would vary.
Somebody has to verify that the system has been put into the minimum specification.
Right.
Anyone else?
I'm good.
I'm good.
Okay, at this time, we would take questions from the... Oh, I'm sorry. One moment, please. We have some...
Sorry.
We have some information or some article or some emails that had come into the township on this meeting. Shelley was going to read about from folks that weren't able to attend.
Yeah, when we said we're going to have a meeting, I said if you can't attend but have a question or a statement, go ahead and email it to me and I'll read it. So I would just like to read some of the ones that came in. Mike's got a couple too. This is from Caroline Klausmeier. I'm very concerned about the incredible rise in cost of the Birch Lake sewer system. At the proposed cost of an additional $89.15 per month, it would make my new payment $141.55 per month, with a total of 12 months, $1,698.60 a year. I'm retired and simply cannot afford that. Please reconsider an alternate way to budget the necessary repairs. Sincerely, Caroline Klausmeier. You want to go ahead?
I have one from Sharon Huxford. The board is meeting this week to vote on a substantial increase in Birch Lake sewer fees. I know that you have a survey from an engineering firm and are basing your new rates on that survey. Given the huge amount of the monthly increase, nearly triple, I want to strongly suggest that the Birch Lake Advisory Committee be reestablished and alternative plans be considered. This system is not in crisis yet, and we have time to explore other options.
This one's from Reverend Kathy Schnedeker. I'm unable to attend the specially called meeting concerning Birch Lake Sewer this Friday due to work obligations. Therefore, I wish to express my sentiment about the proposed Birch Lake Sewer project and its funding in this communication. I took time off work for a previous meeting in which time an accounting of the reserve maintenance funds was requested. The question was not answered by the Elk Rapids Township Board at that meeting, and to my knowledge, has yet to be addressed. While I agree that the sewer system's renewal will rightfully increase our sewer cost, I am in strong opposition to the exorbitant amount that has been calculated by the Elk Rapids Township Board in consultation with the engineering study. As no person on the board lives around Birch Lake, the cost appears of little or no concern or consequence to the Elk Rapids Township Board. And the fact that the reserve funds have not been accounted for causes me to conclude that this is a legal matter to be pursued by the Birch Lake residents. My husband, who will be present at the meeting, and I are active, full-time contributing members of this community and the larger Traverse City area. I'm the pastor of the Traverse City Bay United Methodist Church. Good stewardship makes to us as does fair and just management. We are hopeful that it matters to you as well.
I have another one from Mary Ann. The proposed sewer increase to $141.55 is absolutely outrageous. Please do not allow this to happen. We are retired and on a fixed income.
This is from Mickey and James Trunkle. We cannot attend the special meeting for Birch Lake Sewer regarding the proposed increase of $89.15 per month, raising the cost of the sewer payment to $1,698.60 a year. This is preposterous. We owned and paid taxes on his property since 1965, using it as a sometime summer residence only, making our per use, per flush, pretty darn expensive. This new assessment is almost as much as we pay for taxes. We could build a state-of-the-art septic system for that amount. My specific question, if I were there at the scheduled meeting, would be what, where, or who the hell is all this money going to?
Okay, I have one from FESO. This is, no way can this huge increase happen. Then I have 15 exclamation points for the sewer on Birch Lake and another 15 exclamation points, and you can fill in what you want.
Those were emails, and we did try to acknowledge all the emails to let them know that we received them and that we would read them.
Okay, public comment. Would you please state your name and your address, please?
Kelvin Osterhaven, 14700 Williams Drive. I have a lot of concerns, a lot of questions. My first concern is, I would imagine this is information that just came to light. Mr. Zimmerman, you indicated you got on board here a month or so ago. And I would imagine, likewise, I know the engineering firm's been involved for a while, but this slide presentation and information that you brought to light today is new information, correct? In large measure? Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, that leads to my second question or concern. What is so magical about today, as opposed to after our annual meeting, the 4th of July, when people have an ample opportunity to digest this new information, meet and discuss it?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, my question is, the majority of the people aren't even here yet. Birch Lake is largely a summer residential community. Those that don't reside here full-time and are elsewhere, they're working today. They're coming up tonight. They're coming up tomorrow for the first weekend of the summer. There are numerous people here that came up just for this meeting. You just read numerous letters from people, emails of people that were unable to come today. Obviously, this is a huge curveball. This is new information, information we didn't have. You just gained it. And I realize there's probably not going to be a resolution today. You're not going to take any action. Is that true, Dorrance?
That was the way it was stated, yes. And for your information, we've been talking about this since last August. So it's not anything really new. Some of the new findings, because we have had to go back due to some different things that our engineers have brought up to us, so we needed some more legal opinions. So we have been talking about it, yes, and we have been working on it since August of last year. There's no magical date today, sir. Today is just a day that was coming up. We have a fiduciary responsibility to this Birch Lake sewer system that we feel very strongly about. Our board is responsible, so we have to react before we are completely in deficit. So I feel it's a very important day, yes.
Well, the fact of the matter is many of the people can't have any input into this important meeting. And discussions and questions and information today is tantamount to making a decision at some point. This is all new information that we haven't had any input into. And for your information, Mr. Amos, I was in this building, went to the counter. It was the week after Mr. Zimmerman got involved. He indicates a month or so ago. It was actually about 2 months ago. And I went to the counter, and Shelley came up, introduced herself as the clerk. I indicated that I was here to inquire about the Birch Lake sewer situation, and I wanted to look at a folder that said Birch Lake Sewer Association or Birch Lake Sewer. She indicated, and she's the clerk, I believe, of the township, that she didn't know what I was talking about. There were records downstairs, upstairs. She had no idea what I was talking about, and she wondered what my concern was, and I indicated that my understanding was there were two issues before the township board, and there was going to be a meeting later that week. On the agenda was the second report from this engineering firm. And she said, yeah, that's on the agenda. Dorrance put it on. And I said, is there going to be any action taken? She said, I don't think so. I said, why is it on the agenda? She said, well, I'm not sure. And I said, what are the issues regarding the sewer? She said, well, there's an issue over rates, whether or not the rate is sufficient. And I said, is there a second issue? And she said, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, isn't there an issue before the board on whether or not they're going to try to transfer ownership of the pumps in maintenance to the property owners? And she said, well, yes, Doran's just sent out a letter requesting an opinion from the law firm regarding that. And I said, oh, what law firm? She said, Varnum. Now, Mr. Zimmerman, I have a question for you. Weren't you asked to explore the legality of transferring ownership of the pumps and maintenance of the pumps to the private property owners?
Well, Dorrance, if you'd like me to answer, I'm sure. Happy to do that. No, as I explained, I was asked to look into the system and the problems that was having. And in my opinion, the township doesn't have ownership. It doesn't have anything to transfer to you property owners. It's your property.
I heard you say that. You weren't asked to explore that?
I was asked transfer, to look at the rates, transfer. Look at the deficit situation, and look at whether there was something that could be done to deal with the deficit situation and the obligations to repair and replace the public system some way other than raising the rates to $141.
Then, Shelley, I have a question for you.
Good,
why did you tell,
like
why did
you
tell
too.
Me that?
First of all, I don't appreciate trying to make me look like a ditz saying there wasn't a folder for Birch Lake, because I said I have boxes of Birch Lake information. I don't have one folder that says Birch Lake. And what did you do after that? You said Woody sent me in with this information and said, there's a bunch of information in your conference room. I said, oh, you want to look at all the information Woody had? You said, yeah, I have copies of it here.
You told me whatever information we have, I'm sure, is in that folder. That's a quote.
Exactly.
I said, whatever you have in your folder,
I have. But let's go on.
Go ahead.
Okay. You said, why is Birch Lake on the agenda? And I said, we have had it on the agenda for the past several months. We always talk about Birch Lake. We need to do something with the rates. I did not say that we were asking our attorney about the pumps being transferred over. I said, we have talked about it. Woody and I have talked about it. Anybody else and I have talked about it. But I said that we have, we're asking for an opinion from our attorney on this. So your words and my words are getting a little mixed up here. I don't know what you're after with that, but we definitely, I told you at the time, that we are asking for an opinion from our attorney.
Is it true that the folder that said Birch Lake Sewer Association was on the table in the conference room 3 days later when I came up there with Woody?
It was there when you were here. And I told you at that time.
3 days
later? No, when you were here first. And I said, you can come back and look at that. You can do all you want, but everything in that folder is what you have. I'm not trying to hide anything from you. I never have.
Did you also say to me, I'm sure nothing will happen until after your annual meeting?
I'm sure that we're not going to.
On the 4th of July weekend. Did you tell me that?
Let's move on.
Yeah, this is not. What I did say was.
You and her need to talk about this someplace else. This has nothing to do with the source.
Yeah, let's.
You're
can
right.
we move on now? We've.
Ask
I know there's.
Like,
I just asked her one. I asked her if she indicated to me that there wasn't going to be any significance that took place with the sewer system on Birch Lake until after our annual meeting.
You asked me, are they going to raise the rates of Birch Lake sewer system at this upcoming meeting? And that was the one you were talking about. And what did I tell you? I don't think so. We're not going to be doing anything like that. But if it looks like that's the case, then I will give you a call and let you know. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Well, okay. I'm sorry, Shelley, but we're really not.
Can I just add one last thing? When I had come to a conclusion after looking at these documents, Mr. Amos asked me for my opinion as to what to do with his board. I hadn't talked to the board, just to Mr. Amos. And I said, before they make any kind of decision, they ought to have feedback from the customers. And it was his decision to do it the day before Memorial Day, because he thought more people would be here then than a week ago or a week from now or 2 weeks from now. And I stress that this needs to be done quickly, because there just isn't the money to spend, and I just thought this was a situation that needed to have a decision made on it.
Well,
he tried to have more people here, as many people here as possible.
Well, this is certainly new information, and I appreciate all the work that everyone did in regard to this. Is the slide presentation and an audio available?
Oh, I'm afraid to say anything to you, so I'll let someone else answer that.
Could we get a copy, a paper copy?
Audio is going to be on our website, like all of our meeting minutes, as soon as it's processed. It'll all be on our website.
Yes.
Him I'll talk to.
Can we move on, please? Do we have anyone else who has any questions, please?
Hi, my name's Robert Lundy. I'm on the south side of Birch Lake. I was here when the system went in, and we bought grinder pumps, so it's not a big surprise that we own them, at least to me. I was wondering about easy way to get out of this. The first question probably is for Mr. Zimmerman, and it's on equity. If all the township expenses on maintenance and replacement were improper, and if I'm guessing that backtracking all the maintenance records is going to be too much, on equity, should we not be charging everybody who's had a replacement pump and use that money to go back to the lift stations and the connector pipes so that instead of the improper way it was spent, trying to get a close approximation to where the money should have gone? And will that help answer the question about having enough money up front for all of the, not all, a good chunk of the connector pipes and lift station repairs? And then the second part of that would be, okay, so if everybody who's got a new pit or panel, how do they pay for that? And can it be over time on a sewer bill? And then the third issue is, do we really want to commercialize whoever is working on these systems, or do we want to individually pay the township / village for repairs on our system instead of just getting anybody or trying to do it ourselves and screwing it up?
I think that last question is better for Brad or Aaron to answer.
Yes, I understand.
The first question is really it's a political issue. The legal constraints would be that there's a statute of limitations, so I haven't researched that. There's a general statute of limitations of 6 years. There's statutes of limitations dealing with environmental that are 5 years. There are statutes of limitations dealing with real property that are 3 years. Whatever is the most applicable statute, the township doesn't have the legal authority to go beyond that time frame to recoup money that was spent on individual grinder pump replacements.
So it's just oops.
Well, again, I think the intent was to try to help people out with equipment that's necessary to make the system run, and the people were paying some portion of it. Legally, I think within that statute of limitations, if there's a way from an accounting perspective to figure out how much the township could request that, if individual property owners chose not to pay it, then I would advise the township that it would probably cost them more to go into court to recoup it than it would be the amount that they'd be able to recoup. So it would not be a good business decision, at least politically. They might still choose to do that. But
and in terms of the payment on time, this may be for the board, for the new pumps and grinder pits, is that something that we can amortize so that individual people aren't stuck with the, I forget what it was, $16,000 for the grinder pump?
No, $1,600.
And is that something we can do so people aren't hit with a huge bill when something fails?
He just said 1,600.
Yeah.
And I thought it was 6,000. What number are we talking about? Somebody said
6,000. Aaron, would you like to take?
What are the specific numbers we know today?
Yeah, what we're saying is that the program that goes on today, they replace your pump and your panel.
Whether you need it or not?
Well, you need it if they did it. Either your pump went out, but they're not going back and just replacing it with a single-phase pump, reusing your panel. They're upgrading you to this new three-phase package. So that installation cost is something like $5,000 to $6,000 once they pump the tanks out, depending what else happens on the site, the labor, all that stuff said and done. What we're suggesting is that the reality of a pump failure on an individual home site is most likely pump-related. You know, it could be something in your panel, a motor contact or whatever, but the most likely thing is a pump replacement. To buy the pump is about $1,600. So you would not necessarily, I mean, this is a question for the board and the village and everything, but you would not necessarily have to continue on this three-phase panel package if it's yours. You know, right now the village is doing this and they want consistency and they want to have something that's good.
So then the people who were installing the pump and told the homeowner, you have to get a new box because this pump will not work with that, is that untrue?
That's true. No, that is true. Because they needed to change the box to convert the power to three-phase power. Out
but
to
you
the,
could replace just
the pump with a single-phase pump.
But they don't have those anymore.
They do have them. Maybe not the same manufacturer. There are single-phase pumps available to do this task.
Well, I understand that, but the word out there from the people repairing it is you can't get those anymore. They don't make parts. They don't make the pumps.
The original ones maybe are in the
correct. That specific manufacturer, I think, discontinued that line, right? But what I'm saying is there's other pump manufacturers out there that make grinder pumps that are single-phase.
So they have them.
Yeah, and you can get a retrofit to fit on your slide rail and put that pump back in.
So
back for the board, is there a possibility if the costs are high and the panel and the grinder pump are replaced at the same time to bill over time to individuals who have that problem?
In a word, yes. It's a complicated process to bond for something like this for private property. It's difficult, and the rates end up being pretty high because of the uncertainty of the legality of using municipal finance for private property replacement. And there's some case law that suggests that this it could be a disguised tax, and so there are some complications, but we've done it in one case on a township sewer system around the lake. It was very expensive, and it added a considerable amount to the cost. And I'm not remembering the numbers exactly, but it's easily over 50% extra, to the point where some people actually looked into it and found that just a home equity loan would have been cheaper than what paying over time was going to cost them.
So talk to our local banks is a better solution,
right?
Less costly.
Right.
And I've forgotten if we ever covered the last piece, which is how do we make sure that the people working on the system know what they're doing? Can we not pay the township / village to do repairs so that they know and see what equipment is in there every time they go to repair? Or does it make more sense to have any plumber look at it and then the city doesn't know what repair history is? I'm sorry, city, village.
Go ahead, Aaron.
All right. It is possible that you could continue to have the village take care of these if they're willing. But My suggestion would be if you had more of like a standardized specification that was handed to everybody that's going to put one in and say, this is what you have to have, a pump that meets this criteria.
And then there would be the something where the village and township get something back as to what was done so that they can keep a history?
I don't know that the village or the township is going to keep a history of what's in your pump chambers anymore if they're not responsible for them. But perhaps
you, you would set the spec though, Aaron, right? So that whoever did it would be all
right.
Consistent with everything.
You know, you need a one horse grinder pump that has this type of pump curve and whatever
Thank you.
Manufacturer can meet it.
Welcome.
Good afternoon. Bruce Ducker, 14469 Birch Point Drive. I'd like to compliment you all on a very thorough, very complete presentation, and I think I came down here not knowing much about the problem, and I think you guys have made it abundantly clear what the problem is and probably what the solution is. I thought when I came down here we were being ripped off. In fact, what I find out in listening to this, it's just the opposite. The village and the township has been in a giveaway program where they have been doing free repairs for people for private property. And as in agreement with the last speaker, it's also my experience where I live that anything from the center of the street out to your house, you own. And it's your responsibility to maintain it and take care of it. So I think that once that is settled and it's agreed that, in fact, you do own it, you always have owned it, you always will own it, the rate increase problem goes away. It's will become very, very minor. And it would become even smaller problem if, in fact, as the last speaker indicated, we were to take a 10 or 20% amortization, 10 or 20 year amortization for the people that got free pump repairs. Somebody was given a $5,000 repair by the village and said, okay, we'll amortize that cost and add it on to your sewer bill. Whether or not they can voluntarily agree to pay it or whether they want to go to court about it is another problem. But I think that the solution is we always have owned the pumps, we still own them, and if in fact we have to repair them, it's up to us to do it, and then there should be almost no problem on sewer increases. Finally, I agree with the last speaker that there ought to be some standardized input by the township and village, either maintaining a supply of pumps so there's a standard pump available that they can use if they want to when they do repair it, or at least having set specifications so that everybody meets those. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tim Piazek, 7266 Williams Court. My concern would be if this was turned over to be the private owner's responsibility to take care of the pump, the panel, and all the equipment between their house and that. Number one, the expertise that's out there locally. There's not enough competition to control costs in this area. And the second thing I've learned up here, building up here, is the costs are unduly inflated compared to other areas, no matter what service you use. So I would be very concerned about going private with that. I would prefer, just like somebody else suggested, having the township charge the individuals. So that would be one of my concerns. The other concern would be, of course, is when you talked about having inspections done. Number one, if you have a system down and you have to have it repaired and you have to have it inspected, that whole timing cycle, that's an issue. You've got a person that can't use their system. You're waiting for the guy to come out and inspect it. The pipe fitter or plumbing organization that repaired it is got to make multiple trips to either buy off or make sure the repair is correct. I think that's a problem. So my preference would be to have the township or the public works continue to repair it and charge the individual people if you went to a private system. And then obviously, you currently have a manpower allotment set up to maintain that system. And as our engineering firm said that most of these systems have had some type of maintenance done to them. You'd have to ask if we still need that amount of people in the public works organization if we're no longer servicing 140 of the residents out there. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me, sir. The one thing is, we do have the village representative. The town...
He just left.
No, he's right.
Oh, he's there.
And I don't want to speak for Brad, but the township doesn't have a staff. You guys have always contracted and connected with the DPW of the village. And Brad, can I put you on the spot? Would you still be interested in doing the service work?
The only issue would be for us would be some of the liability associated with us being out on private property. As our current situation exists, our assumption was always we were working on township owned, and therefore it was covered under the liability associated with that. For us to work on private property would be the same thing as us going into a household to do a plumbing repair, and at that point I would have to talk to our insurance rep. If that were going to still be done, I'd have to make sure we would be covered for anything that happened. And as far as the personnel, it's not as many hours as a full body. I mean, basically we have a person that has a lot of experience, and he's typically the one that does it. He'll go out with just one of our other guys, and it takes 6 hours when a pump fails. And then we've historically spent the one group of time where we decrease all of the individual tanks.
Thanks, Brad. Excuse me. Sorry about putting you on the spot, but I wanted to clear that up for you so you knew that we, the township, really don't have the manpower that is doing the work. They've been contracted through you folks to do that or through the township.
And that's still somebody's doing the work.
Yes.
Those people would no longer be needed to do the work. So if we're
so
paying with that for that with tax dollars, that should go down.
Yep. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Jim Muth from Timberlake Drive, and have one comment and then a question. I came before you a couple months ago as the association. We proposed that there be a committee of sorts to take a look at a lot of this information and work with you in a kind of collaborative approach to kind of filter out some of the noise. And we never got a response. I sent it to 5 people in the township. We never got a response. There was a later email, I never got a response on that one, just to try to work with you. So what we're asking still is that we have a committee of sorts, now whether you want to call that a task force or not, but to look at the numbers. Now today's information, quite honestly, we kind of put the cart before the horse. This would have been great information to have 2 months ago and then work back the cost figures. But given the new information, there still is a need, I think, for a committee approach just to keep communications open versus 5 people kind of pushing this, or the perspective of it being pushed down on 140 different property owners. With today's information, my question would be is, Mr. Zimmerman said, well, there's a liability issue here, DEQ, whatever. My question to Mr. Zimmerman would be, what is the individual property owner's liability if a neighbor wasn't up here and a pump failed and somehow the effluent got out and it's on my property, their property, and the lake? And I don't know if, quite frankly, that's even possible with a system because, you know, you say it's a pressurized system and all that. But could it ever be a possibility where the individual property owner would have to work that liability issue out with your neighbor and the courts, and all of a sudden a $2,000 pump that they refuse to put in because they're trying to do something on the cheap all of a sudden becomes a $25,000 lawsuit? So I guess my question simply would be, is there a liability to individual property owners to have these pump stations?
In a word, yes. I mean, you have a situation where potentially, you know, whether you're on a private system with a septic and drain field or in a part of a public system, if one neighbor is discharging sewage that flows onto another neighbor's property, that's a nuisance or a trespass, and there's recourse for the receiving property owner against his neighbor to compensate for damages if there are damages. Yeah, just like if a tree falls down from your property and hits your neighbor's house, there's liability potentially. That it's just unfortunately part of the system in America, our jurisprudence. There's always the possibility of lawsuits.
Well, thank you very much, and the information today was really helpful, I think, but I would still like to have the committee. I just think that's a fair thing to do to the lake owners and have input along the way and before this decision is made. And I would also point out that I would hope there would be no decision made on this for a while until we have our association meeting and we can present that information to the association meeting, or perhaps the board could do the same. But that's when we have the most people here, is July 4th. On my street today, I walked down Timber Lake, and I think there was four houses that looked to be occupied today out of about 25 on the street. So it's difficult to have a very effective communications with people that aren't here. Thank you.
Thanks.
Pat Brady, Williams Drive. I have a question about the Goslin Zubek user charge system that was developed in 1996. Was that a lawful document, or was that illegal?
I'm not sure which document you're referring to.
There's a user charge system that was developed in 1996 by Goslin Zubek.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you the first time. Yeah, that's a requirement under the Clean Water Act that the village receive federal funds for the wastewater treatment plant. Under the Clean Water Act regulations, they're required to have a user charge system. And the primary purpose of that is to make sure that the users of the system are paying all of the necessary costs for running that system, including operation, repair, and replacement.
Right. Now, any reasonable person, particularly a lay person, looking at that document would have assumed that pumps, panels, and grinders were part of the municipal system. And it's just odd that for 30 years, this is 2017, 1987, that system has been there for 30 years, and I think everybody has reasonably assumed that the system included pumps, panels, tanks, grinders. It's kind of shocking now that suddenly they all need replacement. Oh, they're yours. I see that as very problematic. I mean, am I understanding? Is that what you're saying, Matt?
Well, I think if you were listening to the presentation by performance, you saw that 40 out of 138 grinder pumps have been replaced at a tune of essentially 100% of all of the money raised through the rates over those 30 years. It's been used up over 40 replacements. That leaves almost 100 that still have to be replaced, and there's zero money to replace it with. That should be the best evidence that this system was never set up to pay for the repair and replacement of those private grinder pumps.
Well, there was a system put in place, that's for sure. Now, whether the system was, whether someone carried out their responsibilities, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you can get into this situation where you have a design, you have a plan, you have a fund, and then 30 years later, it's where we are. Something seems manifestly wrong.
I think what was wrong is that that fund was intended to pay for repair and replacement of the public sewer system that the township owned, which did not include the grinder pumps or the panels or the laterals.
Then that's what I'm asking. If you look at that document, I don't know how anybody could ever conclude that that's the case, because that document included pumps, panels, grinders. So any reasonable person looking at that document, particularly lay people, would just assume that pumps, panels, grinders, and tanks are part of the municipal system.
We're not suggesting that the customers should have done anything different or should have known anything different. We're just telling you what the situation is right now from a legal and an engineering perspective, and what needs to be changed to bring it into the norm from an engineering perspective and a legal perspective.
It expressly states that. Have you looked at it?
I have.
It expressly states that.
That's not relevant to what the township needs to do today.
You've heard of estoppel?
Estoppel doesn't apply to municipalities.
Well,
It does not, sir. Go consult your attorney.
I guess my point is the system was presented and developed as a municipal system. And for 30 years, it has been, the behavior has been that it is a municipal system. And by municipal system, I mean everything from my house out to the tank. It's kind of a shocking discovery to realize, oh no, you own the tank, you own the pump, you own the grinder.
You're right.
That's pretty shocking if that's the case.
You brought all this to our attention here in the Skazon Zubek report. You're correct. They kind of ensue the they're covering the grinder pumps and whatnot, but that's where they failed to do their homework and not reviewing the original ordinance stating that it wasn't the township's responsibility, it's the property owner's responsibility.
But nobody's known that for 30 years? I mean, really?
You can talk to Goslin Zubek how they determined that.
Where was the township?
What was the township doing? Bill, what have you been doing? I mean, for 30 years, you've been under the assumption that...
It wasn't the township's responsibility either. It's the village's responsibility.
Well, it's not the homeowner's responsibility. That's what you people are supposed to be doing.
I guess my main question is... Was the Goslin Zubek document a lawful document?
Presented to the village. It was never presented to the township, I believe.
Well, it included the township. Yeah, the township was using it. The township was using that document. I want to know, was it lawful?
I haven't been asked to analyze that. That document was done by Goslin Zubek on behalf of the village to help the village set rates. So one suggestion would be to go talk to the village and ask them.
Well, I was concerned when I first heard that, you know, go ask them. No, you go. No, I don't want to play 20 questions. I just want to know, was that a lawful document? Was it drafted lawfully? That's my question. And does this township not know?
As I said, I have not analyzed it because I, number one, haven't been asked to analyze it, but number two, even if I was, I would have said that's not relevant to the issue that is facing the board today, which is how do we operate this sewer system and fulfill our legal obligations and keep the rates from being $141 per month.
Actually, if all of our money that's been collected has been used to sustain the Birch Lake sewer system, as long as I have a firm accounting of that, I'd be happy. And I would actually say, well, you know, if we have to pay $141 today because what the Goslin Zubek document required, which was every year go in and examine those rates and make sure they're correct and adjust them if they're not. If nobody did their job for 20 years or 30 years or whatever, and we today have to pay $141. Well, that's what it is. As long as we have a firm accounting that all the money that was ever taken from the Birch Lake sewer subscribers was used to take care of Birch Lake things, and someone failed along the way to make adjustments, and consequently we're in this pickle today, well, okay, somebody failed to do what they should have done. But I really want to know whether or not the Goslin Zubak document is a legal document. Thank you.
Tim Piagic, 7266. I just wanted to add to that. The perception has been that this was a municipally maintained grinder pump panels. And I'm probably the one that can speak the most of that because I recently built a house and we dealt with Brad. And our builders were told that that is a township responsibility. They had to do the work, put the pumps in, change the boxes, and it was just part of the format. We had an old system there prior to us building. They took the other box back, put a new box in. They had no idea whether the other box worked or not. So those updates were done just as a routine, and we all had the perception that the municipal organizations were handling that. And you led us to believe that, and you've done it for the last 30 years. So if you want to change it, that's fine. Pick a date and change it. But you've done that for the last 30 plus years.
Hi, Paul Moyer on Birch Point Drive. I got to ask this one again just because I wasn't clear on the response. The presentations that were made today, that's all going to be available to us online or a hard copy?
Audios will be online.
How about the hard copies or the presentations themselves? The PowerPoints.
I can have PowerPoint copies of the PowerPoints in my office if anybody would like one.
Okay.
Paper
good.
Copy.
Good. Thanks. I just got to say, I agree with some of the comments here. That what I think I heard you say, Mark or Matt, was the township and the township board has been operating improperly and perhaps illegal for 30 years.
The system was not set up originally to have the grinder pumps be part of the public system.
But
they're private property.
But the village
have been,
and the township
always will be.
But the village and the township behaved in a way as which it considered it was public.
Yeah. It used system money to pay for repair and replacement of private property.
Well, more than that, they told us that it's their responsibility.
We were always told to call DPW if there's any issues.
I can't speak to what you were ever told by who, when, or where. That's, in the legal parlance, that's hearsay.
Yeah, it's on the panel boxes, that's right.
Once again, the township has no employees on this type of work. You may be referring to village employees, DPW members, but the township doesn't have staff that does anything with grinder pumps.
I get that. But telling us to go talk to the village isn't really appropriate. I mean, the sewer and the things on the Birch Lake sewer, we come to the township board for that. So if someone needs to talk to the village, go talk to the village. But we're going to talk to the township board for these things. Right?
It's my understanding that when people have problems with their pumps, they would call the village DPW.
That's, yeah, with full knowledge and consent of the township board.
Well, I can't speak to that. I don't know if the DPW calls the township board every time a customer calls them with a problem about a grinder.
Well, do they send a bill?
They do.
So they do call them. They send them a bill anyway. So a question I guess I have on here is, the follow-up and action items, I've been just kind of taking some notes on questions, but haven't heard answers. So there is a need or a request for some sort of common specifications
if we are indeed going to repair these ourselves, so do we, is that something we're going to get?
I mean, this is all just kind of coming out at this point, so it's not like we've really looked into what the common specification could be. We've been operating under the assumption that the current grinder pump station replacement program was what was happening. And if you want to do something different than that, we could look at it and develop a spec that suits another option.
I guess it goes to what's the follow-up on all these questions. I mean, there's a question, can the village continue to do the work? And there's issues on liability and insurance. I get that, but is someone going to run that down?
Yeah, my understanding, the whole purpose of this is to generate these questions and kind of come back with more information.
So another meeting with answers?
Yes.
Okay.
This has been an informational meeting. The Township Board hasn't made a decision yet and won't do so until they've had a properly noticed meeting, and it'll be a public meeting, and you'll be able to hear how they decide, what they decide.
Yeah, the other question I have, and the last one, I guess, is Maple Harbor will potentially tie in if they do indeed go forward, and so the question we would have from the Birch Lake residents is what impact, hopefully from mitigating some of the cost, will that have on our fees going forward?
You want to take that one, Aaron?
Yeah, so right now you guys pay for, I think, an allocation of 200 EDUs, or residential equivalency units, out of the treatment plant debt. So if Maple Harbor came on, they would reduce your debt portion by whatever their pro rata number was out of that 200. So you would have some savings on that end. Other than that, there may be, you know, they would have some obligation to contribute towards the reserve fund too.
Sure.
It's unclear how all that would come together at this point, but it could have a positive impact on your billing for sure.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Woody Wright, Birch Lake, and I've put up with the sewer system for the whole 30 years. And been part of the first decision to go to three-phase. I've worked with Gosling Zubrick when the rate increase went on. Completely missed the issue of legal ownership there. Steve, would you hand these out to the board? There's a couple things here that I'd like to address. I want to get Matt to get one copy of this chart in here. I'm the same as Aaron Eisenhout and Robert Lundy. I'm looking for an equitable way to offset the fact that 40 people have an updated system and 100 do not. And some way we need to do that. Matt, the statute of limitations, we're looking at about 4 years since we started putting those new pumps in. So I don't know how the statute of limitations fits into what the Township Board could do to rebalance that or not. But that's an issue there. The handout that you're getting in front of you, Dorrance has had this, Mike's has had this. Basically, we have proposed that, Matt, that for a $15 a month increase, we could fund the replacement of the remaining pumps in the next 4 years, and we could start to build a reserve that would equal what Aaron has proposed over the next 20 years. So we don't have to go $141. We can do a $15 increase over our $50. Part of that is that Maple will be coming on. Maple is using about $500,000 worth of our piping. They're sharing with us. Now, that's fine, but how do they compensate and reserve in the future for that ownership? And so I've included the amortization of a fourth of that ownership over the next 20 years. I've also included a share of ownership compared to our reserve figures. So I end up with these figures in 20 years generating $500,000 also for reserve of the main. And I've got money in there for dressing the manholes that are in there. So we are drastically apart, yet for $15 increase a month, we can build the reserves that are legally required here. What I don't have an answer for, and I don't want to see us go through trying to generate all of these legal easements to connect this property. How can we exist for 4 or 5 years to get the system on new pumps and then turn the ownership over to people so now we're on an equitable basis, leave it, so we don't get into the ownership? Because otherwise, the 40 pumps at $5,000 is $200,000. Everybody's contributed to that. 40 people have benefited. And I really have got to find, want to work on a mechanism with you, not against you. I want to work on a mechanism with you to find a way to equitably roll this out. I don't think we want to make the ownership, try to put the ownership back on the township for the pumps and panels. We want to find a way to get through the time to retrofit the rest of them with single-phase motors, which cuts the cost down, where we can do that over 4 years or 5 years at the most. That's what we're trying to get at. It means that we need to know and get some Maple Harbor figures on the table before we go too far, because part of the money that Aaron is building over here, part of that money Maple will pay, and we can reduce the amount of Birchlake money that has to go into it once we set up this relationship between the two sewers. Question of me? Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Woody.
Carol Brady, Williams Drive. Matt Zimmerman, when you check out that 96 agreement from Gosling Zubak, or the user fee, you'll see that a specific amount was collected from us, and it was supposed to be in a reserve fund, and it was specifically supposed to pay for panels in 2015, and it was supposed to pay for pumps in 2010. So that's why we read it, that it covered those, okay? So that's where we got that. So I'm concerned about, seems like Gosling Zubak is a pretty good company. Seems like they would know what they were doing. That's one thing. Another thing is, have we ever had an enterprise fund? Something everybody's supposed to have we ever had the enterprise fund to keep track of?
We do. It's called the Birch Lake Fund. We have a separate bank account for Birch Lake.
Okay.
Woody knows that.
So is that an enterprise fund, what Matt was describing?
It does qualify for what I was referring to in the first slide of my report, yes.
Okay. Another question is, Matt, would you say that our rates have been unreasonable for the last 20 years?
I think they've been artificially low because you've been subsidizing each other for the repair and replacement of your private equipment instead of setting aside sufficient money to pay for repair and replacement of the public portion of the sewer system. So I think it's been artificially low.
Unreasonable?
If there is an expectation that the township continue to repair and replace grinder pumps, then yes, unreasonably low.
So township really hasn't been following the law for the last 20 years?
Well, I wouldn't say that they've not been following the law as it goes to the rates, because you have input into the rates as well. As I understand it, you've had a committee, an advisory committee, that
committee was in the 90s.
To the township board.
That resulted in the Gosling Zubak agreement. So we haven't had a committee since then. Okay. Okay, another thing is Bill Derman. You just did a bunch of easements for the Wilcox Park property.
Correct.
It doesn't seem like it would be that difficult for you to do an easement. I mean, it would be the same for every property. It would just be a different property description. Couldn't you do that for us?
What?
I mean, if we...
Wait a minute. This was the flow line, the main trunk line, okay? We had that trunk line surveyed by...
Oh, I know.
Yeah, and then we had, the only reason we went back at that is because of the court case on this thing. The township had given an easement.
Right, I know those easements were incorrect.
We didn't necessarily own it all, so we had to go back and get the property owners to sign that where our pipe was in the ground. Now, the way I understand this today, I would need a description, a survey description, from the main trunk line to the house. It'll vary differently every lot.
Right, but the easement would say the same thing. It would just have a different description. So we could use one easement, everybody would have to have their own property description. Okay. So that maybe is an option if we don't want ownership, possibly. Because I think you kind of owe us something, because we've relied on township owning that.
Relied in what way?
We've kind of relied, well, 40 pumps have been paid for with, you know, joint money. So we've relied on that.
Would you have not moved to Birch Lake if you had known that you had to pay for your own repair
question.
Replacement of your own private property?
We've relied on that. We've used joint money to pay for individual pumps. Okay, one last thing. When Birch Lake Sewer was developed, we had to develop a legal drainage district. Apparently, it's the only one in Antrim County, according to the drain commissioner. Now you want to put Maple Harbor on Birch Lake. Are they in our drainage district? And if not, do they have to form their own? I'm just asking these things because I want things done correctly. So you don't have to answer that right now, but I think you'll have to answer it eventually. And then the other thing is, how far do you plan to take the addition of our system? Because, Dorrance, you were talking about it going into Milton Township. So that's something I want to talk about eventually, too. Okay? Thank you.
Thanks.
Sandra Brown, 14385 Birch Point Drive. I had just one question that kind of raised a flag for me, and you were talking about if we were to privatize, since you're saying that we are private and that we would have to have surveys, documentation of those surveys, who's going to pay for all that?
It's your property. If you wanted to donate it to the township, you'd have to present them with a description of what you're donating, which means you'd have to get a survey.
Okay, and everybody knows that you'd have to, each individual person would have to have a private survey?
Correct.
And also there'd have to be documentation of the turning over of that?
That's correct.
What, in your estimation, would be the cost to a senior person?
Several thousand dollars.
Thank you.
My name's Steve Jensich, 7352 Williams Court. And for the last 30 years, I've managed trade associations. And I guess I want to buttress Jim's comments, or maybe it was Paul, in terms of reiterating the Birch Lake Association's request that we establish a very informal, non-binding committee of people, officers from the Birch Lake Association, members of the township board and a staff that you would assign, Dorrance. I think, you know, one of the things I think trade associations are very valuable in doing, and associations of any kind, are to take the amalgam of different attitudes and opinions and thoughts as represented, as you've heard here, and produce something that's perhaps a little bit more streamlined, and for you, gives you the same opportunity, so that we have the opportunity to sit down and really have more of a collaborative apples-to-apples conversation on where we go to from here. And I would reiterate the request that, you know, if there was any desire to deal with this, maybe before the crush of the season hits everybody, that you slow that process down and just give us all a chance to work together in a collaborative fashion to figure this out. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any further public comment or question?
Woody Wright, Birch Lake. A very simple question. Do you have a target date when you're going to act on this?
We're going to ask, I'm going to ask for an opinion here shortly of our people sitting here is what we've heard and what we've talked about. So at this moment, no. Okay. But I did mention in our last meeting, we will act sooner than later. So
right.
That's what I can say right now.
Okay, we do have a July 1st meeting where we could sell this to the people on the lake if we do it right. Thank you.
Thanks. Well, with that part of it, I'm going to turn it back over to the engineers and to Matt. And I guess what I'm looking for this board after hearing everything we've heard is I would like to hear what your comments are to us and what, in your opinion, is the right path to take?
Well, I guess I'll start. When this all kind of evolved, I think the complexity of trying to get individual easements and the potential for somebody holding out and all these things that are going to make it very, very difficult to go that route. In my opinion, I think your only option that makes sense to me is to make this separation between what's in the right-of-way and what's on the private property and move forward. I think kind of like the slide up here shows, right now they're billing 53%, so over half of what they're paying is predominantly going towards these individual grinder pump stations. I think you could reallocate that to mainly start a little reserve and take care of some of these maintenance things without a big impact to the billing that's going on right now. To me, that makes the most sense, but that's my opinion.
Thanks, Aaron.
My opinion's the same as Aaron's. I think that for the sake of the entire system and keeping the entire system functioning at a reasonable rate requires the township no longer using system funds to do repair and replacement work on the grinder pumps and panels. That's private property and should be the responsibility of the customers.
Okay, does the board have any further questions for either of the two groups? Dick?
I think I got it.
Got it?
Okay, thanks.
Aaron?
I'm good.
Oh, Mike, good. What's that? Shelley?
I'm good.
Good.
I have one. So, Matt, if we continue to repair the private grinder pumps, right now we know that they're private grinder pumps. We've all been informed. We all understand that. What's our exposure? We're doing wrong, and we found
correct.
Out we're doing wrong.
Any other taxpayer within the township could have a claim against the township for the improper use of funds on private property. Municipalities only have the authority that the state has granted to them, and the state has granted authority to townships to own and operate public sewer systems. But the public sewer system, in this case, stops at the trunk line. And so there's potential exposure for the township that it's operating beyond its authority by using public monies on private property.
Thank you.
Is there any other comment? Aaron, are you?
I mean, if I try to put myself in a homeowner's position, I like this plan. I mean, there's not a, it's a tough situation. If it was me, I would rather own it, keep my rate low, and my responsibility. I guess I would still have the question of the, you know, the pumps and panels that have been replaced. But that's, to me, that's a tough one. I don't know how to answer that, you know, obviously. But all in all, the recommendation, if I was a homeowner, that is what I would prefer. I wouldn't necessarily like how we got here, but that's the only comment I have.
Mike, do you have anything further?
I would be with Aaron if I, you know, I would want to own my equipment because I know what I'm putting down in the drain and I can maintain it, and I don't, would not want to subsidize my neighbors.
Okay. Shelley?
I got nothing.
Really? Come on now.
Already overspoke.
Well, as I'd said before, I do want to get to a point on this. We have spent time with our engineers, our legal, had an open hearing. I'm going to ask to have another special meeting on this issue. I would like you guys to look at your calendars.
Can I get clarification from our end? What you're telling me, if somebody calls this weekend,
good question,
about the grinder, before you guys leave, I want to know, as a board, what you're telling me I'm supposed to do if I get a call this weekend.
I'll let you speak with Matt, but it's status quo. As far as I know, there's no decision today. But we are. I would like to see if, does everyone have your calendars? Could we look at potentially a week from today to have another special meeting?
What date is that?
June 2nd. I would propose we have it at 2 o'clock, June 2nd. Okay.
I'm out. Out of time.
Mike?
I'm here.
Aaron?
Yeah, I'll be here.
Shall I?
I'm here.
Would you folks be available?
Yes, we'd be available.
Matt?
I believe that I am available. Okay. Just double checking my calendar here.
You said 2?
2 o'clock.
Yep, I'm available.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay. Then I would propose we have a meeting for June 2nd at 2 p.m. in the afternoon in the Township Hall for Birch Lake Sewer. So agreed?
What's the purpose and the outcome of that meeting? Would you give
one? We have been... The board's going to take into consideration the discussion today, take into consideration the recommendations, and try to make a decision on Friday. Pardon me? We have had input from the public and from our two entities that are looking into this. And at that point, if there's more questions, they'll be raised and the board will have a chance to discuss it. Sure.
The first questions have gone to you in print and in discussion that have never been answered. Are you supposed to be doing that in some way?
Like what?
The written letter you received. You received two, I believe, with questions.
I did acknowledge them and answer them.
To whom?
To the people who wrote them. Okay.
I'm talking about several came from the Birch Lake Association Board with questions that were never answered.
I am
not
aware of
those.
Not aware of those.
Have copies of your desk Tuesday.
That would be good.
Thank you. So if that's all in agreement, meeting's adjourned. Thank you.